You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Everybody, welcome to episode 139 of Well Met, the unofficial Hearthstone podcast of the Minnesota Vikings. My name is John Horstman. Let's go Vikes.
Woo! Oh, no. Let's go Pats. Woo! You guys are going down.
Man. The Vikings.
That was a crazy finish.
The Vikings got one. I'm from Minnesota. I've been a Vikings fan my entire life. And I can count about 7 or 8 times where that exact thing reversed has happened to us. So it's about darn time we got one.
So, now it's just the Kansas City Chiefs that get that kind of misery at this point.
It's just, you're in a league of your own now.
Yep.
Oh.
We used to be partnered with the Minnesota Vikings, but now we just blow 21-0 leads and
I mean, we had a what, multiple 14-0, 17-0, something like that.
Yeah, you almost did a very Minnesota Vikings thing.
Yeah, we did. We looked so good in the beginning. Anyways, hi, everybody. Danny Donuts, welcome. Racy, not welcome. Eldorian, welcome. Hi, guys. Good to see you. Let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone a little bit. Danny, what have you been up to, man? You win any more tournaments for the Well Met banner?
So not yet. We'll actually have a pretty big wild one coming up later this week. So actually, it's still open for registration, too. I can get the link out to everyone. I'll tweet that out. But there's a pretty big wild tourney coming out soon. But I've been playing standard just so that for some of the HTC things, I'm going to be able to participate in those tournaments as well. So I'm getting a hand on the standard meta. And geez, I don't know. It feels like I'm playing a budget deck every single time I'm playing on ladder.
I would love to sit down with you and Ray and play some standard decks, because I bet you, besides all the memes that would happen, I bet you we'd learn a lot. We should hook that up sometime. Maybe stream it. Make it happen. JR, you can come too.
I'm like, I'll just be here. It's cool.
you can do the show. You do the show, we'll go play some Hearthstone. That's cool, though. I'm excited to see you in Standard. I want 2 well-met co-hosts being streamed for the season championships. That's what I want consistently.
What about me?
Bam, bam, bam.
I can
do what that. About you, JR? What about you?
Okay, so if the HCT would come out with like a dungeon run mode, I think I'm ready for that. I think I could stream dungeon runs and better than someone else. John, what do you think about
dungeon
that?
Dungeon run master of the podcast.
No.
See what I have to put up with week after week.
No, see, but seriously though, it's like dungeon runs, where it's at, man. So much fun. I have been playing ladder.
You've been playing ladder? Good for you.
I have been playing ladder. I'm only like rank 14 because dungeon runs take up the rest of my time. But I'm like, well, I've got these quests lined up and I don't want to just let them go to waste. So, all right, let's see what I got. I got Rogue this week. Cool. Or today. All right, I'm going to roll up Tempo Rogue. I got Warlock, which is fun. So I'm not going to play Q-Block. I was just talking to a friend of mine about this right before the show, and I've been playing that like control-y demon warlock deck, not Q-Block, but the one that runs Rin and just is all about destroying the other person's deck. And as long as I can destroy someone else's deck, I'm happy. Even if I lose, I don't care. I just want to destroy someone else's deck.
Yeah, I'm really glad to see Rin actually being used in the meta. It's so crazy. Like, I remember we went on as soon as we saw the card and we're like, oh, that's a meme card. Well, Q-Block's so good that the deck actually has, like, playability.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's... I like playing it with the... I can't remember the card name, but the one... is it, like, Dark Pact or something like that, where it's, like, yep, one mana and you destroy it and then it kills it just so that they don't silence your Rin and make you sad that you can't destroy their deck now. But no, I play that. Playing a little bit of aggro paladin. That's about it for me. I need to try the big mage that Ray talked about last week.
Oh yeah.
I've been hearing great things about that. That seems to be up and coming in the meta if it's not already here.
The meta.
The meta. I have been like, Dungeon Run is one of those modes where I can just sit down for 30 minutes and play through, and I don't know why, I find it so much more relaxing to play, because when I play ladder I get angry, I get tilted. Yeah. I curse at John. Even though he's not here, and
darn you, John! I get like
every time.
I get chills at like 2 a.m. Yeah, it's like JR is yelling at me from
You just hear a thousand you just feel miles your ears away. Burning. Yeah, you're like, oh, JR's playing Hearthstone, and getting mad. But Dungeon Run is just one of those things where it's just like, I don't know, every once in a while, I'll flip off the AI because RNG, but, you know. Don't tell me you've never done that before.
So hey, the AI gets the best of you. The AI BMs.
Yeah.
The AI does BM. I've been playing, like, so for those of you who don't know, I'm a married man now. And weddings are expensive. Weddings are really expensive. And so part of my budget plan was I bought a grand total of 0 packs for Kobolds and Catacombs. So I'm kind of like stuck. I'm playing Knights of the Frozen Throne decks or Dungeon Runs right now. And I dislike it very much, but it's part of being an adult. So... And I had to buy a new computer, by the way. Today's episode is brought to you by a brand new computer. And it's running like a champ. Should be hanging out for a long time. And I think I'm going to sell the space gray keyboard on eBay and get back like a quarter of the total cost of the computer. That's how much people are... What's that?
I can't believe that keyboard's going for that much.
It's nuts, that's man. Crazy. All Apple has to do is make something in a limited edition color and boom. It's like, I love it.
I put my iPhone 6 Plus on eBay yesterday and it sold within 10 minutes.
Well,
that's one thing I like about having like iPhones and stuff is that they hold their value really well and they're always in high demand. So it's not like, if I get an HTC phone, it might be worth something in 2 years. It might not be. Might have been a better phone. Not saying which one's better or not, but I'm saying there's a definite discrepancy within which will sell first. So,
right. And that phone was, I bought that 2-3 years ago, and I probably got like 25%, maybe 30% of my money back.
Is
what I paid for it?
Yeah. Is Hearthstone optimized for the 10 yet?
I have not played mobile lately, so I doubt it.
I haven't either. I checked for like the first week or so and it wasn't, and then I just stopped checking because it was so depressing.
Yeah.
But besides that, you know what, guys? Let's go and discuss news things.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right. So balance changes. What would Hearthstone be without a public outcry for balance changes? So recently people have been asking, hey, when are we going to see the next balance patch? What's that going to look like? And Ben, the all-father Brode, went ahead and gave us a little update on Twitter, says, been reading discussions about balance. We have an update coming next month.
Next month.
Next month, which includes cool events. That is when any balance changes would happen. We'll be sure to announce any changes as the patch gets closer. See you at the HCT World Championship next week. So, and that was January 10th. It's what, the 15th today? Yeah. So,
yeah, 5 days ago.
Pretty dope. And that's coming. Danny, as our resident hardcore player right now, since Ray is gone, is Hearthstone in need of some balance changes?
In Standard, yes. I definitely feel that Standard has some of the issues with balance. There's one wild as well. So in Standard, I feel that Corridor Creeper is definitely a problematic card. But that mostly centers around patches, because when patches comes out of your deck, essentially if both players are playing patches, then you get discounted by two on Corridor Creeper almost automatically. So that's a bit of a pain. So Corridor Creeper and patches are two of the really powerful cards for Standard that I could see, some change to. More likely Corridor Creeper, because Blizzard typically likes to implement the push everything to wilds strategy, in which I actually think that patches is fine in wilds because aggro is currently lacking in the wild metagame. Like the aggro is pretty weak at the moment. So I think that for an aggro deck to be good, you need cards like patches. You need cards like Corridor Creeper. So, but the big thing for wild is Barnes. Barnes is just way overpowered in wild. And as more and more cards come into the set, Barnes just gets more and more powerful. Whereas it's probably not on the radar of someone who's a Standard player. Barnes is, it's probably the biggest pain in the butt for wild players, because Big Priest is really, really powerful and wild.
So are those the only changes you think we might see for Standard? Like, is that your bet?
Yeah, I would see a Corridor Creeper change, maybe a Barnes if they've been listening to the wild players. A lot of people are complaining about Raza Anduin, but I mean, at some point, like, they're going to rely upon the fact that wild, everything's rotating to wild and that there's like 2 months left. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's no change to Raza. Or you hear a lot of people saying things like, oh, change Raza's to make your current hero power cost zero. And that way the deck changes so that you have to play Anduin first and then you play Raza afterwards. So, I mean, that could be an interesting change, but I don't know.
Interesting. What about the balance changes for Dungeon Run, JR? just kidding.
Good one. No. I think Corridor Creeper is going to be the big nerf. And I think the thing they have to do is either make it your minions or your enemy minions instead of all minions. And I think that's the change that probably needs to be made. I don't see patches getting changed at all because he's rotating out of Standard. I don't see Barnes, even though it's a problem in wild. Like, I don't think they're going to balance anything in wild. Like, I don't see them ever making balance changes for wild. Maybe they will. I could be wrong. Yeah. But it seems like they've always kind of have felt like wild was just the Wild West, where anything goes and everything's broken. Sure. And I'm not sure. That's why I'm not sure if they'll balance anything because of wild. I see them announcing things that are going to be rotating to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I could always see Ice Block as a potential, potentially like preparation. You know, is one of those cards that I could always kind of see moving in that direction. Even though it's not a problem right now, it's still one of those cards. It's always been kind of weird, sort of like Innervate when they nerfed Innervate. But maybe they'll nerf it, because I thought it was weird that they didn't move Innervate to the Hall of Fame and instead just nerfed it.
I mean, Innervate was more of like a, something that they needed to change then, and like, I don't know, they couldn't wait long enough to let it rotate out. At this point, Blizzard can push their problems off for 2 months and receive the backlash for a little bit, but then everything's in wild.
And I see Simi No More in chat saying they did change Dreadsteed for Wild. And the reason why they did that wasn't necessarily because of the card was going to be overpowered or anything like that. The card was literally going to break the game because of a... That's why they had to change it. Because it would have literally broke the game. It's not that the card would have won you the game. The card would have just broken the game that you were playing.
To be fair, though, the game still has that with Grim Patron. If you played a five, I mean, I've tried this OTK a bunch of times where you go and you put an immune on a knife juggler, and then you play a Grim Patron and you defile and you get infinite juggles.
Right.
And they put in code to stop that. There's a limited number of defiles that can go off. I think it's something like 25 or something.
And they could have done that with Dreadsteed, but I think instead they just chose to change how it works because for whatever reason. And it could just be
future proofing is good as well.
Right. But I could definitely see some changes, like some stuff moving to Hall of Fame that involves like Mage, Frost Mage, because that's always one of the cards I've always have heard the developers talk about, like, well, we really wanted to print this card, but then it would be really super good in Frost Mage and Freeze Mage, and we just never did it because of that. So I think moving some things to the Hall of Fame might, quote unquote, open up the design space for them to print these cards.
Do you know whose line is it anyway? Where they do the skits where they pull a piece of paper out of their pocket and that's their next line. I feel like that's design space. Too difficult to understand.
Soon TM.
Soon TM. Interesting.
I'm curious to see what balance changes there are, how many there will be, how many things move to the Hall of Fame. And I think it's cool that we're going to hear about it next month, because that feels a little early to me.
Well, he said,
like, I figured March.
He said if any balance changes were to happen, that's when they would happen. So it's not that we are seeing balance changes then. It's that don't expect anything before this time.
I like the part that says that that coming next month, which includes some cool events. So, I mean, we have the arena new cards coming in. So I wouldn't be surprised if that comes up. Ben Brode has also been hinting at there being some new wild related events coming up, not necessarily tied with HCT, but maybe another heroic tavern brawl or something like that. Honestly, anything that brings more attention to wild would be nice, to be honest.
I'm going to take what he said very literally, and that we're going to see some really cool events, meaning we're going to see the Hearthstone Winter Olympics. And everybody went quiet.
Thanks for tuning in for episode 139 of WoMat. Really appreciate you being here, despite one of our hosts. I'm not saying which one, but one of our hosts. Just kidding. It's me. That's
I'm not really, being serious. Come on.
I would honestly, I mean, we do the...
That'd be pretty cool, though.
We do the Summer Olympics in Overwatch, and it's probably one of my favorite events. So
there you go.
Give me Lucio Ball and Hearthstone.
Hey, yeah. Or
you do the Hearthstone triathlon. You play a game of Standard, you play a game of Wild, you play a game of Arena. And then the dungeon runs. Dungeon runs, not one of them, but quadathlon.
In quotations or in a parentheses. Sorry, JR. There goes your shot. Been training for this. Oh, it's not going to be a part of it. Dang it.
Competitive Dungeon Run will be here just as soon as Bolster Warrior becomes a thing.
Competitive Dungeon Run is the same, is in the same vein as Mythic Dungeon Runs for World of Warcraft, in my opinion. It's like, hey, this isn't working. Let's do something totally different. Because just like with when you had arenas, competitive arenas, you know. So, hey, all right. Want to do some meta talk here? Let's do some meta talk. I think we've got a thing. We've got a button for this. It's not the right one. You know they can go. Not the right button, but we don't care here on the WellMet podcast. So we do have the Blizz Pro Ladder Optimizer, the Bublo, right? Is that a Bublo?
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it.
Bublo?
I like Biplo. Biplo rolls off the tongue.
That's actually, I think that might be some DJ from Denmark, though. So we might have to.
I think that's Diplo.
There's Diplo and Biplo is a slightly slower, younger brother, Biplo. All right. Anyways, ladder optimizer number 11. It says number 9 there.
I know. I've told him about it. It's all good.
That's honestly for me. So, you know, I've been podcasting now for what, you know, 2.5, almost 3 years. And the thing that I probably mess up the most, besides making the shows not funny or interesting, is forgetting to like update the numbers on our YouTube images. I'll forget to put the update the episode number, or I will forget to update the episode number in the show title. So yep. it's tough, man. Like
that's why you make checklists on everything that you do in that regard.
And yeah, but then you forget something from the checklist. So you need a checklist for your checklist. It gets real very sloppy.
Yeah. Well, you just make more checklists.
Checklists for your checklist.
Then your whole life becomes checklists.
Right. I mean, that's what your whole life should be, right?
Isn't it at the end of the day, isn't our life just a bunch of checklists?
It is. I mean, John just checked off getting married.
That wasn't actually originally on the list.
It wasn't on the checklist.
That's one of those ones that you draw in and pencil.
I was just so infatuated that I'm just like, this is going on the checklist. This is going on the checklist. Yeah. Didn't think I wanted it before. I do now a lot. Yeah. So. Oh, all right. That got a little real, didn't it? All right. Anyways, top effective laddering. You're talking Tempo Rogue 0.40. That's stars per hour, right?
Yep.
And then you've got Razakis Priest 0.33, and then Murloc Paladin and Big Priest 0.18. Danny, break this down for me. What was really interesting for you?
So I just like the time being kept by games per or stars per hour. I find that pretty cool. That's it's definitely a really good way to look at it. Whereas normally when you're getting data from like Vicious Syndicate or something like that, you really have to internalize the data and say, all right, this deck has a high win rate, but maybe it's a long deck to play. Maybe I don't want to climb with it. And this just does the math for you, essentially. And that's really nice. Having something spelled out for you exactly like this, do this and you will get this, is probably one of the most direct things that a meta report can do.
Hmm. So if it doesn't, is the optimizer wrong, or are you just bad at Hearthstone?
It's you.
I just wanted everybody to hear that. If you're not, it's not us. It's you. It's not us. It's you. You're just not very good at Hearthstone. Hate to say that to you as somebody who's not very good at Hearthstone. I can sympathize. So interesting.
All kidding aside, though, on that, the meta does shift because of meta reports, especially being someone who creates two of them. Whenever we put something out, the meta is going to be influenced by any meta report. So just keep that in mind as well.
That's a good point. What do you think, JR?
I think one of the things that was interesting about this is something that he mentioned in the analysis and that they mostly have done analysis on data that derived from all across all ranks. So they used to go from basically legend through everything, right? They're going to right now they're focusing on higher ranks now, where I believe this one is rank 5 to legend. I'm not 100% sure on this, or if it's going to be in the future, but the way they're going to do this going forward is maybe a likely concept is concentrating on rank 10 to legend in the first half of the month, and then rank 5 to legend in the second half of the month. And I think that's a really cool thing that they're looking at doing, because as you start ranking up, you want to know how the meta is shifting for you particularly. And if you're, you know, a rank 5 player, then this report is going to skew more towards you in that regard. And the whole idea behind this is optimizing the ladder so that when you start out at, you know, rank 20 or 19 at the beginning of the month, you'll have this to kind of guide you through the whole month as you try to hit legend. I think that's really cool that they're doing. And I do agree, like, looking at these high win rates and whatever, this was last week's info. And I think Murloc Paladin might not be as good anymore, but I could be wrong. But Temple Rogue, definitely the way to go if you want to rank up fast.
How many Kobolds and Catacombs cards do I need?
You need Corridor Creeper.
You need Elven Minstrel.
You need Elven Minstrel, yep.
And I think that's it.
I think that's it.
All right. I will do that. Here we go. Thank you, BlizzPro Ladder Optimizer and JR and Danny. Appreciate it. You guys are the best. I got my weekly fill. I got my value added from Well Met Podcast this week. Appreciate it.
You're the best. Yeah, the nice thing about Temple Rogue is the fact that it's a deck that has kind of stayed in the meta through Kobolds and Catacombs and staying on top of the meta with just a couple additions. But both of these, like all of these decks that are up here, other than Paladin, because Paladin, you need Call to Arms and a couple other new cards. But like Razakus Priest doesn't really take a lot either.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's one card difference between last expansion and this expansion for Razakus. That's Psychic Scream.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And even that card is, I consider questionable. I thought I would hate that card so much, but it's kind of like, well, whatever. it doesn't affect me as much as I thought it would.
It's not as infuriating as you'd expect.
Right. Mm.
Cool.
All right. It's not as infuriating as Entomb.
Dang Entomb. All right. Let's go on to some competitive Hearthstone stuff. I hope Ray doesn't listen to this and gets really angry about it, but we got Danny here, so I don't think we'll make many mistakes, if any at all. So Danny, we've got the world championship lineups. They're all public now and we can see them all, and obviously we've got HCT coming up this weekend, right?
Yes, this weekend.
This weekend. Friday. I'm like, there might be a world where it was last weekend and I missed it because it was the first week of Overwatch League. I'm like, there's a world where I say this and everybody subsequently unsubscribes. So, ooh, that was good. Anyways, give us a breakdown of this.
Yeah, sure. So I'm working on the Tempo Storm YouTube channel now, and we're going to put a video out about this. So you're getting a little bit of a sneak preview here, but I spent about 3 or 4 hours looking at lineups and evaluating matchups. So I'll give you guys a quick overview of what's going on. Just in general, around 98% of the field, we think built their lineups specifically to ban Q Block and to target Raza Priest. And we think that that's just an overall decision because it's hard to tech against QBlock. And once you have QBlock out of the equation, it's easier to target Raza Priest because you can play cards like Scalebane, and you can either go incredibly high or you can incredibly hard into the aggro strategy, or you can play like Jade Druid and out armor Raza Priest. So some of those are some of the strategies that people are doing to approach playing against Raza Priest, because everyone minus two people is bringing Raza Priest. I believe Ant and someone else is bringing another like Dragon Priest. But so the major difference is, yeah, like I said, a couple people are bringing Dragon Raza Priest, where you're running the 4-mana Duskbreaker. But it seems like those decks not are necessarily weaker, but their consistency on getting those is it's tough. You can only fit maybe about 5 or 6 dragons max into the deck, whereas a lot of other dragon decks you've seen in the past have 8 or 9 or so. So getting that consistently getting that turn off on turn 4, what you're trying to do to combat aggro, is something that you're you might keep a large dragon in your opening hand, for example. It's something that you have to look at.
Interesting.
One of the other things that we saw was that people were relatively split about running aggro druid or druid in general.
or
jade druid, sorry.
Aggro druid or druid.
Yeah, I've just been playing so much jade druid that it's just straight up druid for me now.
You're jaded?
Yes.
Lol.
Yeah. So that mostly it's what people think is going to beat priest better. If you're Jade Druid and you feel that you can armor up over all the damage that Reno Priest can put out, or if you can aggro them down first. So that's that decision there. And there's a lot of differences between the QBlock, which runs the cube, and the Control Warlock, which doesn't run the cube, and like Jhar had mentioned earlier, runs Rin. Those decks are very, very different. And a lot of the decks have a lot of interesting tech choices, but we don't think that they're going to be showcased as much because they're going to be banned like 99% of the time. But 99. Maybe someone has a strat. Yeah, I give that extra 1% in case someone like Purple decides to go and pull something out of a hat and just do something crazy. But interesting. I mean, I'm not a professional. I mean, these guys spent hundreds of hours designing these lineups, and this is something that we got from analyzing like a 16 of them for 3 or 4 hours. Right. And it's also just a quick summary as well. We're putting out a full video on it as well.
Cool. Awesome. I have to ask you guys though, with this going on, who's your favorite? Who's your world champion after this next week?
So my heart says Ant. But I chose Sintalul.
No. No.
Ant brought a bunch of aggro decks.
Ant has a really tough group.
Yeah.
It's a really tough group. I chose Hoi.
I chose Hoi.
I think Hoi takes it. I think that, especially in Group A, he's got a strong history of beating Orange. As much as I love Orange, he's got a strong history of beating Orange when they go head to head. And I think that he's much better than Doc Pwn and Tom as far as just overall skill and being on a stage of that size. That's my guy. JR, have you given this a look?
I have already picked my champion, but I
for the I Dungeon Ant. Run World Championships.
No, I picked Ant as my champion, and that's my expert analysis that I said on Twitter is I don't care if he doesn't win any packs. Just picking him as a champion means I believe in him. Mm-hmm. but looking at then I looked at his lineup and I'm like, oh. I might have picked wrong.
High risk, high reward.
Yeah. So it's just like, I didn't, when I picked, I'm like, I'm all in on Ant. He's my guy. Then I got to looking at the lineups, and if I were to choose now, like, I don't think I would choose him. Just looking at what he's bringing compared to everybody else. I'm swinging towards purple. I really like his lineup.
You're swinging towards purple?
Yeah.
All right. Interesting verbiage there.
I always have interesting verbiage. No, I'm leaning towards purple is what I meant to say, but I did say swinging towards.
Swinging. Just swinging towards him.
Swinging, like, good on you, buddy. Win that championship.
Definitely not what I meant by that. Anyways, interesting. All right. So that's it. Anything else we want to hit on for the world championship?
If you want to see all of the deck lists, they're up on the Hearthstone website. And there's some really good analysis in there as well. And it was written by Kevin Hovdestad, who I'm sure many of you recognize.
Never heard of the guy. Congrats on him for making it, though. Making a name for himself. What this is starts on... I'm trying to find the time so we can give everybody... Voting ends January... Schedule January 18th, 8:30 a.m. CET. No idea what that means. But it's in Amsterdam. So... That's it. First prize.
Some European time zone.
First prize, $250,000. And even if you lose your first round match, you're still going home with $25,000. So
that's a pretty good consolation prize.
I'll take it. And a free trip to Amsterdam. So yeah.
I think the biggest thing though is like looking at these deck lists and just seeing like the diversity. Of quote unquote diversity of these decks. I mean, it makes me feel sort of bad that there doesn't seem to be the diversity as there was like last year. Like last year seemed like there was more. I could be wrong. I could be just imagining things that didn't happen.
I mean, I think you're wrong.
You have two classes that aren't even represented. You've got three classes that are sort of represented, like Hunter being like one person bringing it, Mage being two, Paladin being three, and then it's just dominated by Warlock, Rogue, Priest, and Druid.
I wonder how much of that has to do simply with the fact that deck lists are public at a time. Like, you know, there's really no advantage to being sneaky with your lineup because everybody knows. It's like planning a sneak attack and going on to television to tell everybody about it. It's like, it doesn't really work. Because in the end, we saw with Overwatch League this last week, there's 26 heroes. We saw 25 of them get played. Over the first week. And I have come from a place of where I would sit on the side of it's very difficult to make every class playable. And I mean a shooter and a CCG obviously has their own differences, but I think it's possible, but I think that it can't really begin to be possible until we get rid of seeing deck lists at a time. And I was a big apologist of that too. I've said on this show in the past where it's like, I'd rather see players play their best with decks they know than try to be cute with their decks. And to a point, I still stand by that. But there's also the point of like, I can only see these matchups so many more times before myself as a viewer is like, meh, I'm over it.
Yeah, because in this case, all you're going to see is either Warlock or Priest get banned every time.
Yeah.
And then try to win out from there. And I just from a viewing experience, that doesn't sound exciting. Like. Mm-mm. I don't know.
Yeah, it becomes rocks, paper, scissors, essentially. Did you bring this deck? Yes, you win. unless you get unlucky, essentially. You come, I mean, you can go in and you can discuss, like, we went through when we were discussing people bringing, like, one or two copies of a specific card. Like, if your rogue deck brings two Elven Minstrels as opposed to one. And, like, that, while it has some impact on a matchup, it's not as relevant because it's the same matchup, rogue versus priest, and it's like, it'll either happen one way or the other.
When
you start discussing if you bring like one or two copies of a card, you know that it's not really about the lineups. It's about it's gotten down to the micro level of analyzing deck lists that the meta is solved, essentially.
Yeah, which you would expect it to be at this point. I guess
I think part of it too for being worlds is no one wants to take any of those cute decisions because so much is on the line.
That's true.
If you decide to go in and make some, like a lot of the times people will go in at a tournament and there's like a B list lineup that'll go in. You play a bunch of counter decks, but typically the counter decks aren't as strong as the original deck. And while there's a bit of a factor of surprise, if you go in and you have the counter decks and like a world tournament, you have the opportunity to just completely lose. If you're teching against one specific deck or something and you get matched up poorly, I think that going in like a world championship type of thing, you typically are going to start to rely on bringing the best decks because you have the best possibility to win with them.
Yeah,
it's true. I do think we're going to see, and I could be wrong about this as well, I don't think we're going to see as many quote-unquote RNG wins either. Like wins that make you kind of go, oh, man, he got lucky on that babbling book, you know, and that's what caused him to win the game.
No Ragnaros.
There's not a lot of, like, these deck lists don't have a lot of that heavy, you know, RNG with it. So I think that will at least be entertaining and to an extent. Also, as a viewer, not as entertaining, like entertaining from a skill level perspective, mm-hmm. but not entertaining from a casual viewer perspective. Like, it's not going to have the story of the babbling book, you know, that became the paveling book.
Less trolled and level moments.
Right. And that could be a good or bad thing.
All right, so last thing on the list for the show today. Danny, we're putting you on the stage here. And we want a quick dive into the wild meta. I'm just kidding. We're not going to actually
talk. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's actually do it. Go.
All right, cool. So we got the wild meta. It's you have the same decks as standard, but they're supercharged. But due to that fact, you have Reno Priest, which is much more deadly than Raza Priest. So you have Spawn of Shadows, which you can essentially combo off with any four cards instead of holding on to the combo, making it a deadly combo killer. That puts a lot of the focus on being able to burn your opponent down early. That along with Q block is much more deadly and wild because you have Void Caller and Mal'Ganis, and those two just you can even cut the Skull of Minari from your Q block lists now because you can just sneak your demons out with Void Caller, and getting a Mal'Ganis out early is game ending. Due to these two decks, the meta has slowed down a lot. And you typically are starting to see decks like OTK Maligos Druid coming up. And that's actually, while it's been played by Griparian recently, there's a guy, I think he hit number two Legend Wild, Zeddy, who's friends with Crip on his friends list. And he actually recommended the deck to Crip. But he hit number two Legend with Maligos Druid recently. So that's starting to come in. Oh yeah, Q-Block has also gotten so greedy at certain points that it's become Giant's Lock, where you run Naga Sea Witch, and then you use that Giant's package getting reduced down to zero. So you're running essentially all high roll cards. You're running the Void Caller to get your demons out early. You're running your Naga to get giants out early. And essentially by turn four or five, you're going to have either a giant demon on board or you're going to have a bunch of mountain giants.
Nice. That was for man, you packed that info in there. That was great. I turned the music off halfway through because what you were saying was so good. I figured I would just let you go.
Oh, cool.
Let you go.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it at the start anyway.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. So anything else you want to add now that you know that you're not on a timer?
Well, Rito Mage is starting to peek its head back.
Okay.
That's one thing. And it's one of the more intricate matchups on the ladder between it and Reno Priest. Because Reno Priest can't just straight OTK you because you have Ice Block. So it becomes a game of chicken, essentially, where the Reno Mage has to try to burn out the Reno Priest. And the Reno Priest is trying to chip away at the Reno Mage. Because what you want to do as the Reno Priest is chip them and pop their Ice Block without using your Spawn of Shadows combo. And because if you can pop them, then you can go in the next turn and then kill them. So it becomes a race of can the Reno Mage burn out the Reno Priest? And the Reno Priest has a bunch of you're using your tools differently in that matchup. So the Reno Mage is actually favored if you play it correctly. But yeah, it's actually a really fun matchup. And Reno Mage is starting to come back now. They're running a bunch of Polymorph effects because of Q-Block. So you see like Polymorph Boar coming back. Potion of Polymorph is being run as a secret. And then you're obviously running Polymorph.
If I was a brand new wild player that just wanted to start laddering up, I'm going to be at rank 25. What would you recommend someone to play right now in the meta?
Sure. Is this someone jumping in? If you're jumping in from standard, I would take your favorite standard deck, whether it be Raza Priest, Q-Block. So those two mainly. And then I'd convert into the new wild cards, or the old wild cards, rather. I would go and add Reno, add Spawn of Shadows, add Void Caller, add Mal'Ganis to those two decks. Those two decks are essentially the powerhouses of the meta. Aggro Paladin was okay for a little bit, but due to the way that you can build your Reno Priest and you can build your Q-Block deck, aggro is really starting to get pushed out of the meta so much that like these OTK druid decks are coming up.
Cool.
I don't think I'm smart enough to play wild anymore.
This is all high level stuff. Obviously, you can just go in and you can grind.
I used to be a brilliant young Hearthstone player. And then,
when?
Back when I got Legend before you.
Episode one?
Hey.
It all went downhill from there.
Yeah, you know, I peaked. It's like, I'm like the guy, like, I remember when I was starting quarterback in high school. Coach would have put me in.
Throw that ball over the mountains.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, man, I just need to do it. All right, guys, what else? Anything else? Are we going to call it a little short? We need Ray here to fill that extra 15 minutes of time. Now we know how much time Ray adds to a show. The answer is 15 minutes.
So next time, do we put Ray at the beginning or the end of the episode? We do this, and then we have Ray talk for himself for 15 minutes.
I think we'll put that one at the end. The very, very, very end. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here then. Thanks for hanging out for episode 139 of Well Met. We really appreciate you hanging out with us this week. Big thanks to our Well Met legends, The Real Ben and Carell. If you like the show, want to support, head on over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast and iTunes reviews. The site we used doesn't do it anymore, so I have to do it manually. So if you left a 5-star review this week, get you next week, unless it's in a different country, in which case, sorry. Email me and let me know you left a 5-star review. There. Compromise. There it is. Anyways, let's do some shout outs for the week. JR.
I don't have any shout outs, but you can find me over at Twitter on twitter.com/Eldori.
You are twitter.com
over at Twitter.
No. You can find me at twitter.com.
Yep.
You can find me on the internet.
Yeah, you can. That's exactly where I was going with that.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Danny, what about you, man?
Sure. Well, you can find me at on Twitter at DannyDonuts45. Oh, no, I'm DannyDonuts_HS on Twitter, and Twitch is DannyDonuts45. And instead of a shout-out this week, I'm just going to remind everyone that there's a Wild Open that's happening on Saturday, I believe. So I think there's the prize pool, like $500 or something. So it's a relatively interesting tournament. And if you're interested in checking out the Wild scene, it's a good place to get started.
Cool. Awesome. As for me, you may or may not know this. If you are following competitive Overwatch at all, I have a show called Overwatch League Daily. It's a 5-day-a-week Overwatch League podcast, 15-ish minutes long. And it's been really cool. I have a fully produced video. JR, you are going to get just...
What are you doing? What is that?
Just dropped. Rules just dropped
my fingers.
Is that like the new... Is that like... Remember the... What's the name of the little skateboard things? That you...
It,
the
it
finger...
Came out, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They came out with... Little, like, yeah.
Yeah. They came out with rollerblades for guys like JR who don't actually have any hand-eye coordination. You know what? Just stick them on your two little Vienna sausages there and then just let them go around. So
I have hand-eye coordination, really good hand-eye coordination.
He's so a Hearthstone
the best
player.
Hands-eye coordination.
The best. I just want to stable hands-eye coordination at that.
I was actually really good at baseball.
I believe it. I make fun of you a lot on this show, but it's usually stuff that isn't true. The button. Anyways, Overwatch League Daily, lots of great guests. Fully produced video and audio. You should check it out if you have any interest in competitive Overwatch and you're watching it. I think it can squeeze its way into your daily routine. All right, well, that's gonna do it for us for episode 139. Make sure to tune in. We're on Sundays now, except for tonight, but we're moving to Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. And you can tweet us at WellMetPodcast, email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Big thanks to Jake Butno for our music. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next week.